Thank you, Gavin, and thanks everyone for having me. So I'm Luke Reynolds. I, as Gavin says, run a policy team at the Royal Society, which is the UK's National Academy of Science. We can't beat the weavers, but we're around 370 years old, set up during Charles II's reign. And my team has the grand title of People and Planet, but we do biological sciences and the biosphere interaction. So anything ranging from your health to the health of the planet. But I'm a chemist, and that's relevant as I set the scene around how different science disciplines change over time. Before I joined the Society this year, I spent about 10 years in government in multiple different scientific departments, including all of COVID, working for Patrick Vallance in the Government Office for Science. So I've been asked to set the scene, talk about some of the upcoming challenges at the science policy interface, and mostly what I'm going to talk about is the scientific supply, if you like, that's the insights from the scientific endeavour globally, and the policy demand, which consumes some of that science to benefit people. So, demand, the application domain. We consume science and use it to inform some of these areas. These are where we work, and I don't think many of these change particularly quickly, if at all. Most of them are based on things that you'll have had drummed into you, things like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the first and second hierarchies of that. These are things that matter to people, to us. I think you all know this. It's things like food and sustenance. We all need to eat. It's the environment, the world around us, how we interact with that. It's our health, the health of our loved ones, our friends, and society as a whole. And it's how we communicate with each other, for example. So I'm going to take a few, starting security or safety. We all need that in our lives. Thousands of years ago, the way we applied best science to that application domain might have been, how do we know how to choose a cave that doesn't flood when it rains? Or to protect the door against whatever big saber-toothed cat is out there that wants to eat our children. Fast forward thousands of years, again, best science in that domain might have been, how do we quarry, transport, and dress stone so that our castle stands up and we can be safe inside it? Now, it might be, how do we navigate some of the privacy challenges of a Ring doorbell? All cutting-edge science applied to the domain people need of security. What's next? Transport. Thousands of years ago, best science might have been, how do we breed a horse that's really good at endurance, or really fast, or really strong? That was the best science. Might have evolved to, how do we develop good rigging and sails so we can have, I don't know, boats that can trade across the Atlantic. Now it might be, how do we do 10,000 cycles on a battery that does our e-scooter for 1,000 kilometres or something between charges. That's all development of science applied to domains, and the domains don't really change very much at all. If you think about it, quite a lot of government departments are based on those application domains because they're the things that matter to people. So if that doesn't really change, how do we generate this question at the bottom? How do we generate demand? What does that mean? Well, for me, demand is about doing things better. That's why policymakers want to consume science. It's about doing things better. So take health. We have a health system. It could carry on as it is. But we try and inject some science and technology and new developments into it to make things better. And what do I mean by better? I'm going to pick out three things, and there might be more, just as there might be a few more application domains there that you're busy saying, Luke, you haven't got work or education on here, which might be true. So better can mean faster. We do things faster, we generally think that's better. At a policy decision level, that might be make HS2. I want to get to Manchester faster. That might have other problems, and maybe we're only getting to Birmingham faster, and even then if you're only at Old Oak Common or something. but faster. That's usually deemed to be better. So there's a policy demand to do things faster, and science can help us do that. It might be cheaper. I was thinking of examples last night. I spent some time working in Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, and the challenge there was about really awful automated voice recognition software to remove the need to interact with someone over the phone, because that's really expensive. So that was about doing it cheaper. It might be about doing something better, to a higher quality, and quality is important. And a good example here, I think, is something like two-factor authentication. That's application of new science and technology to do something. And two-factor is, as you know, when you get a second passcode you need to put in as a text message or something. It's slower, it costs development expense, but it gives you a higher quality product in the form of safety. So I think what I want you to leave with on this side and think about as you're going through the day, think about technologies, is how do we apply those technologies and science developments to areas that matter to us and what drives demand. Okay, so what about, what's big on the science side? What about some of the science? With the weekends, I trawled the internet, things like Gartner and all of the sort of consultant organizations who look ahead a couple of years and say, these are the big things, Luke, and they post that in accessible articles on the internet. And I've collated some of that into a frankly slightly naff word cloud there for you. And some of the technologies and sciences here you'll recognize, some you'll probably all work on, and some will be slightly new to you. I'm going to pick out a few and tell you why I think they matter as we're applying them. So material science in the middle, big. This is about the chemistry and physics of things, stuff. That might range from super alloys, any metallurgists here, you know, new steels with 40 different chemical elements from them because it gives you just the properties you need to run your space program. Might be really hard but see-through surfaces for our smartphones, and if your children are anything like mine and scratch your phone with their keys, that's really welcome. It might be really good tires that don't fragment and give us horrible particulate matter in the air for our new heavy electric cars. Material science. There's a bunch of digital techs in there, ranging from computer brains to do things like write your essay for you, or probably do a word cloud for you better than this, to image processing and edge computing there, where we can look at surveillance camera technologies and get better answers more quickly through using that, some of that technology. Some of you with a bit of a biology background might have picked up some of the bioscience elements there, and we've seen really quite exciting advances here, particularly in my view, around things like nucleic acid technologies, put to really good use for COVID vaccines over the past few years by a variety of large and small companies. And just last week, we saw a world first here in the UK. The UK health regulator approved a genetic cure for sickle cell and beta thalassemia, Thalassemia. And that's quite exciting. So the science is giving us for the first time the ability not just to treat symptoms or cure a disease that goes away and could come back later, but potentially to cure it so that it never comes back and you never experience that again in the future. And can think about the absorptive capacity for the world for that type of technology. So the science supply side is huge, it's growing, and it's changing. 10 years ago, this list would have been completely different. 10 years from now, it will be completely different. And keep that in mind when you're thinking about some of the discussion throughout the course of the day around the current important things and how you want to frame yourself as future leaders about specialism or generalism as you are interpreting that science for the benefit to apply to a domain. So I was asked to speak a little bit around some of the work the Royal Society are doing. This moving us now from some of the theoretical to the more tangible domain. And here's an example of some of the topics the Royal Society are working on over the next couple of years. And what I want you to take from this is the way we are trying to use some new and novel science and use that to speak to a social policy issue, some of those application domains we saw at the beginning. And the key idea here is that the matching between exciting science and the demand is what generates the value. And when you work at this interface, the real attraction and value add you can give is appropriate matching. So, sustainable proteins there on the left. What's the new science here? Well, new science is things like precision fermentation. We can genetically engineer bacteria to make whatever proteins we want, take them off the top of our batch fermentation, dry them out, use them as food additives or completely new food. We are working out how to grow insects safely, securely, such that they put on huge percentages of their body mass really fast by feeding them food scraps and use that as a foodstuff. And that's where the interesting science is. Where's the demand? The demand is on the need to feed more people globally, actually feed them more protein. Quite a lot of the world is protein deficient. And we need to do that with a lower environmental footprint. Farming is arguably one of the worst things humans have ever done to the planet. We need to reduce the environmental footprint of our land use for farming. Digital one above it, assistive technologies. This is based on some of the rapid advances in things like large language models and the suite of digital technologies you can imagine there. But also things like improved psychology, understanding how do we educate people better and how do people learn, as well as knowledge of user interfaces and how we interact with screens and other digital tools. Why are educationally assistive technologies important? We have a huge educational inequality in this country and in quite a lot of similar countries. That is driven by some of our legacy social and economic frameworks, exacerbated by some of the more acute challenges we've had around things like COVID. I'm a school governor, and it's pretty scary, the number of children who are not at school or who are disadvantaged through our current education system. And so by matching some of the new science and technology development to that demand, we can support those people in our society who need them. Lastly, I'll pick up geroscience here on the right, he says, pointing with that pointer. Geroscience is around drugs to prevent aging. It's pretty cool. In the last 5 or 10 years, we have developed drugs, small molecule therapeutics, that at least slow the aging process, at least in mice. That's pretty exciting. The demand on the other side is an NHS that is really strapped for cash and a latent demographic time bomb, people will call it in this country. At the moment, we have roughly 2 taxpayers for every 1 retired person in this country. So every retired person is supported by the tax income of 2 working members of the population. In 2050, so just 25 years, probably less than a generation's time, that will be 1-to-1. So we will only have 1 taxpayer to support a retired person. That's going to demand a huge change in our healthcare system. And soft plug on that, Chief Medical Officer's annual report on health in an aging society came out about 2 weeks ago, and me and my team wrote a small chapter on that, on some of the upbeat new science that can meet some of those challenges on geroscience. So please go and read chapter 7.2 of the CMO's annual report. So I'm going to stop there. Hopefully that's given you a bit of a feel around how I see the demand and the application domain for science. And when you're thinking about your careers in the science policy interface, I encourage you to all think about that balance and that matching process, because that's where you will derive and give value. So thanks. Do I hand back down to Gavin or to Joy? Not sure who. Thanks all.